With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Swear.
When I look back, I'm feeling very, you know, I feel that I accomplished everything that I want, because at some point of my career, I was just thinking about win fights, which of course all the athletes want to do that. But after many years, I started to realize that I was representing something much bigger, which is the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu martial art and the community of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And so I was fighting for something much bigger than just myself. That's why I always talk about my martial art. I always go there and try to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu when I get inside the cage, because that's what I want to do. And that changed pretty much after a few years in the UFC, when I start to realize that a lot of people, they were following me, and they were following me, and they came and they start to say, oh, I start jiu-jitsu because of you, and this gives me strength to go out of some bad situation, and, you know, that changed my life. And not just that, but I saw, even before that, I saw many people coming into the gym to training, coming to the academy, and being somebody that had, you know, a lot of problems and totally changed their lives. I remember there was a guy, and when I was just a blue or purple belt, he started to train at the academy. I used to train with Fabio Gurgel, my teacher. The first run he does around the mats, the tatami, he stopped and threw up because he was drinking so much. And he was having some problem with that. So after a few years, he was a black belt. He lost like 20 kilos. He stopped to heavily drinking. He changed his life. And I saw that over and over and over and over. And when I realized with the UFC, I had a huge platform, because everybody was saying that they start to train because they saw me fighting and talking about that. They start to train and they change their lives. There was, you know, a story that I always say, that I was signing papers, signing photographs in an event in Las Vegas. And it's a big event they used to have every year. And just for MMA fans, and a lot of fighters go there and they sign things for the fans. They take pictures. There is the all this place they sell clothes, of MMA clothes and memorabilia, all these kind of things. So it's a big event in Las Vegas. And I was signing the papers, like there was a big line. I was like for 2 hours signing, and was kind of tired. And then somebody came to me and said, Damien, can you please sign that for me? And I said, oh yeah, of course, you know, and I was that, you know, I was doing that for many hours. So I start to sign the photo. He said, and sign this other one for me. I said, okay, no problem. And then he said, look, that one is for me, but this one you put for this friend of mine, because he's in coma. He cannot, you know, talk, but he can see, and he loves you, loves your style, he loves jiu-jitsu, and he will feel so much better if I just show him this stuff. So then you start to realize how big is the event that you're fighting, how big, you know, was already the UFC, and how much you can influence people. And so why don't use that to something bigger than just think about your own accomplishments? So when I start to have this feeling of mission, everybody changed in my life. In my opinion, the toughest training that you can have is a grappling training. It's very grinding, very grueling, and I think, you know, even if you're really well prepared, when you're grappling, you will get tired no matter what. If you grapple with a guy that is your level, the same level or better than you, you're gonna get tired. I think striking, you learn better how to deal with the stamina, because it's more aerobic thing, in my opinion. But grappling is more anaerobic, and you can, you know, be on the ground, be stand up, and then you change all the time from on the ground, on stand up, on the ground, on stand up, and that's makes it really tiring, this kind of training. You carry on your opponent's weight all the time, and I think grappling is the hardest discipline to train and to be prepared. And MMA, of course, is the pinnacle of the martial arts, because you gotta be good in everything. So if you have a good stamina for grappling, you need to adapt that also to, let's say you grapple for some few seconds, then you release, you need to be ready to strike. It's a different kind of preparation, because then you need to be relaxed again. You cannot be tensious. And at the same time, when you're striking and you're more relaxed, and then when you grapple, we need to be ready to do that also. So it's something that is very tricky to training, and people are still figuring out. It's evolving, but is that's why I like so much. It's very challenging. Yeah, one great moment of my student career as a jiu-jitsu practitioner was when I have the opportunity to meet with my idol Rickson Gracie and train with him. So that's a long story that, you know, for many years was a dream for me to train with him, because he was on my idol since I was a teenager, and I always looking after him and looking for, you know, everything he was doing. So when I start to fighting MMA, I had a manager, Paulo Vasconcelos, a friend of mine, and he knew Rickson. So he said, Rickson, Demian really, you know, wants to train with you. That's a dream for him. And one day, you know, he said, okay, he can come here. He was living in Brazil at that time. That was like 2008, maybe. And he said, he can come to my apartment and we're going to do some training. So I fly to Rio de Janeiro, because I live in São Paulo, and I go there. I remember walking to his apartment and thinking, that's crazy, that, you know, all the filming passing through my mind when I watched him fighting first time back in 1994, that I went to a old martial arts store in São Paulo, in downtown São Paulo, and I saw a video of a guy fighting, and then he guillotines the guy. It was a Japanese guy, Rickson guillotined the guy on the fight in Pride, I think it was Pride, and the guy tried to lift it. He just jumped and fall on the other side of the guy. For me, that was amazing. And since that day, I was like following him, and you know, I remember to see, who is that guy? How he can do that? You know, it's so much skill. And so I was walking there, I said, I can't believe I'm gonna train with this guy that is my idol. And he opened the door, there was just a mat on his apartment. I remember, you know, the living room was like a big mat. And then he said, okay, come here, let's warm up a little bit. What do you do from this position? What do you do? And then we start to do some situational training from specific positions, and that was great because, you know, I understand how deep is his love for our martial art, because he just forget about the time. He was just so deep into that class, so concentrated that, you know, we did, I think, almost 3 hours talking, and he didn't care about the time. He was just there for that. He was present. And I remember till today, like, the sun was kind of going down, and you know, from his window I could see the beach there, the ocean. One so good feeling that I still remember it today. One day, you know, many years after that, I had already my kids, and I was with my kid Lorenzo watching a TV, and I put Choke, which is like a very famous documentary of Hickson, and then I put and said, Lorenzo, watch that. That was, you know, a guy that, you know, was my idol, and now he's my friend, you know, and this and that. And then Lorenzo, my son, he came to me and looked to me and said, Daddy, you very lucky. Yeah? I said, why? Because you get to meet all your idols. Because I was talking also about Royce and the other guys, Hans, and then I said, man, I never realized that, because, you know, many people, they have idols, but they never get a chance to meet them. And I had the chance to become friends with many of them. So, you know, that was a great lesson that my kid taught me that day, that, you know, how he showed me something that I don't even realize, you know, how lucky I was, and that I need to be very grateful for that. There is many hard things that I need to adapt when I transition from sport jiu-jitsu to MMA. Actually, a good thing is, as I start jiu-jitsu coming from other martial arts background, and I knew that I want to be a MMA fighter, or in that time a Vale Tudo fighter, I always did my jiu-jitsu, even when I was competing at sport jiu-jitsu, adapted to MMA, which means all the kinds of guards that I do was focused on MMA. It was like, I do this half guard or this butterfly guard or this kind of guard, because I know this can work against punches also. It's not like a sport jiu-jitsu guard. So everything that I did was thinking that could be effective, not just in sport jiu-jitsu, but also in Vale Tudo at that time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But with that said, there was one point that I was really struggling, that people don't realize too much. But when you are a jiu-jitsu guy or wrestler or any grappler, normally your leading leg, the leg that you on front, is your best leg. So I'm left-handed. And I was fighting with my left leg in front. And when you go to train striking, normally when you strike, like boxing and Thai boxing, you put your better arm and leg on the back. So then I put my right leg in front to train boxing and to do MMA. But all my takedowns, you know, the good ones would come from when I had my other base, the base with the leg, left leg in front. So I need to readapt everything and start to shoot better with the right leg in front and change all my game. So that was one very hard thing. When you see, you know, the wrestler nullifying a game of a great jiu-jitsu expert, I think there is few reasons for that. I think one is because sometimes, first of all, because, you know, wrestling is a great grappling style and they control so well. Everything they do is control. They, in wrestling, there's no submissions nowadays. Of course, they learn that to fight MMA, and they learn especially how to defend that, but they are very good in control. But there is few reasons that they can control a jiu-jitsu guy in a fight. And the first one is the time limit, because nowadays you have 5 minutes, you know, rounds, which is, it's not so long to develop a good grappling game. So nowadays you gotta train, if you are a good grappler, if you wanna be a good grappler, like a good jiu-jitsu fighter in MMA, you wanna train to rush when you fall on the ground. You don't have time anymore like it used to be in the past, when the rounds are longer or there was no time limit. So when you need to learn on the train that when you fall down, you either gonna sweep, submit, or stand up if you cannot do any of those stuff. The only thing you cannot do is to accept the guard for a longer time in a way that you end up losing the round. So, you know, if you want to be a good jiu-jitsu fighter in MMA, you need to practice to be very active when you fall, especially on bottom. Because if the guy is he knows that, and he will know that you're a great jiu-jitsu, like a world-class level jiu-jitsu fighter, he will just try to stall there and buy time and win the round. He's not looking to pass our guard. He's not looking to submit you. He maybe is looking for some punches just to keep the fight there. And the way you should do that, and during training you should do drills and exercise that every time you fall on bottom, you gotta be very active to do, you know, some specific positions. That's how I trained when I was fighting, for instance, Ben Askren, that I knew one of the, his strategies could be put me down in the end of the round, like, so, you know, cook me slow during the round and then put me down in the last minute, because he maybe was afraid to get submitted on the ground, and stall for like 1 minute and win the round, because he knew for 1 minute stalling was easier than to be the 5 minutes or 4.5 minutes. So he could survive his stand-up, put me down, win the round. And so what we did, we started to develop drills that as soon, you know, if he was able to put me down, take me down, as soon he did that, I had some key reaction that I would do to go to some submissions, some sweeps, or even stand up if I need. And that's what we did, and really working during the fight. So it's the way you train that is important. You know, the techniques are there. Jiu-jitsu is the best martial art that, you know, the most effective one that people ever invented. But you gotta learn how to train to specific rules. And MMA nowadays is not just a fight, it's a game. So we need to learn how to think MMA as a sport and train smart for that. Yeah, I always be focusing using my best skill, which is the jiu-jitsu game. And that means grappling, fight, not just on the ground, but also stand up. But the mindset of a grappler, which is close the distance and keep the fight close. And for in one point of my career, maybe, you know, from 2010 till 2012, for like a couple years, I was training a lot of boxing, and I kind of, you know, got a little bit, I forgot a little bit of my jiu-jitsu skills, and that was important because I learned some striking that I need better. I really got into that. But at the same time, I realized that I was missing my main skill. And I start to think, okay, if you're like a world champion in kickboxing, or like a K1 or Glory champion, and you go into MMA, you're going to train the other skills, the other abilities, like the grappling side, like stand up on the ground, to use better what you do. Better, like what you do better is your striking. So why, you know, a lot of jiu-jitsu fighters, they go there and they try to be a mix of everything. Instead of training their boxing, their Thai boxing, everything, to use better what they do, you know, better, which is the jiu-jitsu. Some world champions, they go there, they go and try to strike. It's the same, it's crazy, because it's the same thing that I, you know, a glory champion or K1 champion go there and try to start, just take the opponent down and try to go to the ground or pull guard and throw away everything he did all his life. Is for me, something that is, there is no reason, is something crazy to do that. It's hard to say what my best and my worst memories in MMA career. I think the best memories are not just some wins, but some, you know, if I look back one day, of course you remember the win, like the win against Carlos Condit, the win against Ben Askren, the win against Chael, and you know, they were all great wins, but not just that, but what happens, you know, behind the scenes with all my coaches, we traveling together, we training together, we go sometimes do a wrestling camp in US with friends, and everything we enjoy together, you know, doing what we love, and you know, meeting nice people and be able to see great fighters from all styles, like great boxers, great Thai boxer. Worst memories, I think, you know, every loss is a very, very bad memory, but in one point you start to look back and see that, of course, every loss was important, you know, because you use that to develop. And I think the worst memories is when you feel injustice, let's say, mainly when you negotiate a fight or something and you don't have time to train and you think you could have some chance to do this and that, and you don't have things that don't depend on you, that is in the power of other people, and you, even if you do the best that you can do, it doesn't depend on you. That's memories that sometimes are, you know, are tough. But with that said, I think I'm not gonna remember the bad memories. I don't think there is nothing worse. I think I will remember just the good things. Nowadays, the guy who impressed me the most is Charles, because he pulls out very tricky submissions. He's very skillful. I know him since he was a kid, and he's great. And of course, you know, Khabib is a great grappler too. I remember when he was starting the UFC, I was fighting at the same card. I think was my first fight as a welterweight in Las Vegas. And Khabib was fighting that same card. I don't know if it was his first fight or second fight. And Leonardo Vieira, one of my coaches, he said, look, Demian, Leandro, my brother, he trains Khabib at AKA. And man, I trained with this guy and he's amazingly good and tough. And I said, really, he's a good wrestler? He said, no. He's a good jiu-jitsu fighter. He can do well in jiu-jitsu. He's great. His background is for wrestling, but he's a great jiu-jitsu fighter, and he will be champion one day. And he was right, and he's great. It's great to see his grappling skills. I think, you know, I would say Khabib and Charles nowadays, the ones that most impressed me using Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The absolute BJJ GOAT for me, in my opinion, there's two guys. I had the chance to fight both. With one, I had the chance to train for many years. And one is Marcelo Garcia, because, you know, especially because what he did, you know, with his size, that he was not a huge guy, you know, fighting and winning ADCC and World Champions, for me was amazing. So for me, he's maybe the best pound for pound ever. And the other one, I think, is Roger Gracie, because of course everything that he did, gi and no gi, in jiu-jitsu, and he's also, you know, can, you know, he ties with Marcelo with the best of all time. I would give maybe a little advantage to Marcelo because Marcelo is much smaller, but both for me were the guys that I think, you know, achieved the pinnacle of the oral martial art, and there I admire very much, and I consider, you know, for jiu-jitsu and gi and no gi, the best guys ever.
Et voilà, c'est la fin de votre épisode du podcast La Sueur. Si ça vous a plu, n'hésitez pas à nous mettre les 5 étoiles sur Apple Podcast ou sur Spotify. Vous pouvez aussi nous laisser un petit commentaire, ça nous aidera beaucoup. Et si vous voulez aller plus loin avec nous, vous tapez La Sueur sur toutes les plateformes ou sur les réseaux sociaux, vous nous trouverez. Et là, vous nous écoutez très certainement en audio. On est aussi en vidéo sur YouTube, mais également sur Snapchat. Là encore, vous tapez La Sueur et on sera là. Merci de votre fidélité et à très vite pour de nouvelles aventures.